A következő műsor megtekintése 16 éven aluliak számára nem ajánlott.
Vezetők, akik átírták a történelmet.
Politikusok, akiknek korlátlan hatalmuk volt sok millió ember sorsa felett.
Diktátorok, akik élet és halál urai voltak.
Apák, akiknek örökségét ma a gyerekeik cipelik.
Az On the Spot 6. évada róluk szól. Diktátorok leszármazottairól.
A történelmet sokan ismerik, de minket most az ő történetük érdekel. Szubjektív lesz, nem is lehet más. Lesz köztük, aki jobban gyűlöli az apját, mint az áldozatai. Mások minden áron védeni akarják a szüleiket, és olyannal is találkozunk, aki egyenesen megszökött az apja rendszeréből.
A helyszínek között van Uganda, Kambodzsa, Kuba, Chile és Németország is. 5 kontinensre utazunk el most is táv nélkül 2 kis kamerával, hogy minél közelebbről megismerjük őket.
De azt nem tudjuk, hogy vajon képesek leszünk-e az apjuktól függetlenül látni őket, a diktátorok gyermekeit.
Normalmente taxi. Y antes profesor de español en una escuela. El salario no era mucho. Let's go.
¿Cuál es un compañero de aquí? Los compañeros de acá. Los compañeros de allá. Los compañeros de allá. Partido Comunista de Cuba.
Kubában 1959 óta tart a forradalom. Vezetője Fidel Castro, a 20. század emblematikus figurája. Vannak, akik forradalmi hősnek tartják, mert szembeszállt az igazságtalan kapitalizmussal, ráadásul az Egyesült Államoktól alig 150 kilométerre, egy szigeten.
Mások szerint diktátor, mert fél évszázadon keresztül fel sem merült, hogy leváltsák. Gyakorlatilag mindent államosított. A gazdaság évtizedek óta nem fejlődik. Nincs szólásszabadság, nincs ellenzék, és akinek mindez nem tetszik, az úszhat, amerre lát. Ma 2 millió kubai él külföldön, többségük Miami-ban.
Así, así, así. Tengo hoy aquí en el estudio a Lina Fernández Revuelta. Buenas noches.
Buenas noches.
Siempre es muy interesante leer la historia de Alina Fernández Revuelta, la hija, ¿cómo te decían?
No,
rebelde de Fidel Castro.
Yo lloré con eso. Yo lloré con eso, sí, porque las editoriales te imponen los títulos de los libros, que son cosas que mucha gente desconoce, ¿no? Que las editoriales te obligan prácticamente, no.
O sea, que ese no era el título que tú querías darle a tu libro.
Claro que no, un adjetivo que ya era yo cargo como una losa.
La forma en que entraste a este país me llamó muchísimo la atención. Saliste a través de España disfrazada. ¿Cómo fue eso?
Bueno,
¿disfrazada de qué?
De turista española.
¿Verdad?
Y olé, claro. Porque me prestaron un pasaporte de una muchacha española que se sacó, se falsificó en otro lado. Bueno, es algo así bastante rocambolesco, ¿no? Pero tuve que salir con ese pasaporte que ya tenía mi foto. El nombre de ella, no voy a decir el apellido, era Victoria. Y estuve practicando la noche anterior cómo firmar como ella y algunas cositas así, ¿no?
Hazle cuento al taxista, Lina, please.
Entonces, bueno, para buscar el taxi, mi hija fue la que salió a buscar el taxi. Yo me vestí, me maquillé y me disfracé. Eso es posible, disfrazarse de turista español en Cuba. En el edificio, un edificio que quedaba cerca del Mella, al fondo del Mella. Entonces, cuando salí de ese edificio ya transformada, mi hija había ido a buscar el taxi. Yo me fui hablando como española hasta el aeropuerto José Martí.
¡Qué guapa eres!
Bueno.
¿No sentías miedo?
Soy un poco payasa también. ¿Sabes que lo de ser clown corre en la sangre? Y entonces...
Señores, a buen entendedor con pocas palabras basta.
Lo disfruté de cierta manera, pero fue también el momento más desgarrador de mi vida, fíjate.
Sí, claro. Y lograste violar la aduana e inmigración.
En una época en que no había computadora, no, hace más de 20 años, imagínate tú, eso tú sabes. Ellos tienen unas cámaras fotográficas en la vista, pero yo iba bastante bien disfrazadita, llevaba una gorrita puesta, un sobre todo. Pero bueno, fue relativamente fácil, la verdad, comparado con otra gente que hasta, bueno, no solo se ha arriesgado la vida, sino que la ha perdido tratando de salir de Cuba.
Óyeme, Alina, cuéntame algo. Estuviste casada con uno de los bailarines principales del Ballet Nacional de Cuba, ¿no?
Entre otros.
Ah, sí, fueron muchos matrimonios.
Entre otros matrimonios, no, otros bailarines, sí.
¿Cómo se siente uno cuando a uno le dicen, tú eres la hija de Fidel?
Por cierto, volviendo al ballet, es el papá de mi niña, el bailarín. Bueno, ¿cómo se siente uno? Eso fue un cambio de identidad para mí, porque mientras estaba en Cuba trataba de negarlo. Y desde que salí de Cuba, pues, lo asumí. Pensé que asumiéndolo iba a ser un poquito más útil.
Bueno, pero en Cuba la gente sabía que tú existías.
Sí, pero en Cuba,
porque cuando tú eras modelo de la Maison, yo me recuerdo que yo iba muchísimo a la Maison y todo el mundo decía, Alina la modelo, la que es hija de Fidel. Amigo. ¿Tú te consideraste en toda esa etapa que tú viviste en Cuba, aunque estuvieras al margen de que la población supiera que tú eras la hija del comandante, te consideraste en algún momento una niña privilegiada? No, o sí.
Mira, yo es que un privilegio en Cuba es una cosa tan sencilla como tener una casa, ¿ves? Entonces, sí, nosotros teníamos una casa, mi mamá tenía un carro que, por cierto, fue envejeciendo junto con la revolución porque era un carro de 59 que
acabó... ¿BW?
No, era un Mercedes.
Ah, ya.
Que acabó siendo encendido con un alambrito y apagado con otro.
Sabemos, no sé, ustedes se fueron hace mucho tiempo, yo hace 60 días estaba allá. El país está destrozado, los hospitales están destrozados, todo está destrozado. Escuelas al campo aquellas. Se las están repartiendo los campesinos como vivienda, ¿no? Pero entonces son pequeños ciudadelas, como se dice en México. Unos se convertirían
como
en
favela,
solares.
Como
se convertirían en solares. Y él me decía, y lo he notado aquí, Cuba vive en Miami. Cuba vive en el exilio histórico.
¿Qué te gustaría escuchar?
Lo dejo a la elección tuya. Fíjate
no,
que confío
tuya,
totalmente
tú eres muy invitada.
En ti.
Estamos celebrando el Día de las Madres. Lo que tú quieras escuchar.
Voy a coger bajito, ¿no? mío, que estás en el Caribe, tendido como un viejo que se muere. La pena, el abandono son tu triste compañía, pueblo mío. Me fui sin alegría. ¿Qué será? ¿Qué será? ¿Qué será? ¿Qué será de mi vida? ¿Qué será? Si sé mucho, sé nada, ya mañana se verá. Y será, será lo que será. Ya mis amigos se fueron casi todos. Los otros partirán después que yo. Yo lo siento porque amaban su agradable compañía. Mas es la vida, Samuel, hay que marchar.
Come on in. Fidel was sent to jail. And my mother wrote to him, he wrote back. I think that their relationship started with this letter exchange, which, I mean, I haven't seen anything more powerful than a letter. You know, a handwriting letter with the touch and the smell of a good old letter that is so powerful. So Fidel left for Mexico, and my mother gave birth to me when he was in Mexico. In my mother's mind, nothing bad was happening in the country, for the contrary. In my father's mind, they took away his clinic, they took away everything, they took away his wife, so everything bad was happening. He wanted to save his daughter from that.
You just said my father.
That's what I always say. I mean, in my papers, my father is Orlando Fernandez. So I have two fathers, but Orlando knew from the beginning, even before my mother got pregnant, that she was in love with Fidel. For my mother, the important things were the revolution and Fidel Castro.
And where were you in that picture?
I would like to know. My mother is a very strong woman. I never saw her crying or complaining about anything, but you can't say when somebody's unhappy. You can't say, you know. I would have killed for her. Then when I grew up, I realized that it wasn't the same feeling from her to me. See? Since I became an adolescent, I was unhappy in that country. I never ever adapted socially to the whole process, meaning that it made the relationship between my mother and me more difficult because it was quotidianity. The country I loved, the government she trusted, that's what I wanted to leave. That's what I hated the most. That's the place I felt a prisoner in. My experience with Fidel Castro is more the one of a Cuban child that was growing up, you know, dressing in uniform, marching all the time, chanting anthems and revolutionary slogans, and, you know, see madness around me, hysteria and madness. That's what I remember. I don't remember feeling any hate, personal hate for him. I felt betrayed, of course, by the revolutionary process in my country. I didn't consider or even consider that the promises were kept. They lied to us systematically. But my mother was also lied. My mother is not the author here. It's just a believer. The first thing that Fidel Castro said publicly is that we were not even close to become a communist country. And he affirmed that many, many times, until one day he changed his mind. One day, not in a public place with, you know, where he usually gave all his speeches, but in a theater, very secluded, with people already preparing the crowd. What are we? Camerads stand and said, we are communists. And well, from one day to another, we were transformed. So get to power and control power in every way takes time and takes a lot of lies, of course. You're not going to go there and say, hey, people, I'm going to despise you, use you. I'm not going to feed you. I'm not going to allow you to have new shoes. And people are going to hail you and applaud you. That doesn't happen. First of all, 500 years of history, at least.
No, esta no se sabe qué virgen es, pero está muy linda.
La Merced, creo que dice. Alguien dice.
Pero con esa capa amarilla, a lo mejor es una virgen española, o sabe Dios qué, ¿verdad? Sí.
Le dijeron que era la de la Merced.
One of the pictures belongs to my mother also. It's very sad, but that's what happened. There is one in Sergio's house. There is another one here.
One in Sergio's house is really your mother's?
Oh, yeah. It had happened to me many times that I had to recognize my mother's painting in somebody else's wall, which is kind of sad, but it's what has been happening for the last half a century in Cuba. People are getting rid of good things because they need the money.
When you're in Cuba, Miami is demonized, right? And all the mad and crazy and hysteric exiled people live in Miami. So it's kind of, it's part of the propaganda and the brainwash. So as a lot of Cubans, I turn around until I finally ended here.
Oh, the freedom is everything. How you describe freedom?
Wasn't that difficult for you to be free at the first time? Or
no, it's not difficult to be free. What is difficult is to learn your rights and your duties by being free.
The oppression and the whole difficulties and dictatorship and tyranny, it's heavily romanticized a lot of times.
Well, the revolution was made a legend because of the American media at the beginning. So you had Time Magazine and Herbert Matthews, for example, a very respectful and respected journalist, making Fidel Castro appear like this, you know, romantic figure who was the king of justice. And that's how everything started. Since he's an excellent and a genius manipulator of public opinion, and I've seen a lot of sympathizers to the Cuban regime, even millionaires, but they're going to stay in America. They're not going to move to Cuba except for visiting. They're not going to send their children to be educated there, or they're not going to go there to get health care. See? It's a little bit of maybe the nostalgia in many people, that they don't want to give up about the way they thought when they were 25 years old, better than that 15.
Este acto simboliza esencialmente la unión de nuestro pueblo, la unidad de la revolución.
My mother told me, I was Fidel Castro's daughter when I was 10 years and a half old, which wasn't nothing that at the end surprised me either, because he was the only presence in the house. So until I was 10 years old, I thought my father was this bad guy that abandoned the country, which I loved, because I have the greatest memories also about Orlando Fernandez, right? He was tender to me when I was small. He was nice, gentle. So, and he left. They made you write down in school if you have people that abandon the country. So it was kind of very humiliated to have relatives that had abandoned the country. They made it precisely humiliating for you. You were like stigmatized. So when suddenly Fidel Castro became my father, it was like, oh, that's a release. I always had the feeling that nothing was normal around me, because people will approach you asking you for things.
It doesn't matter what. I mean, it could be a house or a pair of shoes, which I didn't have, by the way. So the only way you have to protect yourself from that is to say, my name is Fernandez. I'm not related to him. My mother gave everything up, and she somehow also became a leper because nobody will approach her. I mean, no man will go and ask her to go to a party or to have dinner with because they were afraid. They always said, well, it's like a sacred cow. You know, she already belonged to a comandante, so I won't even... And she has a daughter with a comandante. What will I do her? Will I help her raise the comandante daughter? Everybody was scared to death. Being Castro's daughter in Cuba is going to bring over you every possible reaction, depending on if they like him or not, or they love him, crazy love, or they hate him, crazy hate, or whatever. That's what you're going to have. You're never going to be yourself, and it took me many, many years to try to, you know, to at least convince myself that I was this human being who liked this or that or disliked this or that. I tried to live a normal life beside that relationship, and I understood from the beginning that people were not reacting, I mean, basically, to me, but to him. I've been trying to leave Cuba since I became an adolescent, I think. I put up some pretext that I had invitations here and there. I wasn't able to do it. I had to escape, and it was only possible in 1993. I was playing roulette with my future, my immediate future, and my daughter's future for sure. So that's the way I felt. It was a game. If I lost, consequences would be pretty bad.
But they wouldn't send Fidel Castro's daughter to a
camp? No, but they can send her to a hospital, you know, which is a little bit worse. They have ways to arrest you. And I left my daughter behind. She was my only accomplice. One American preacher, Reverend Jesse Jackson. He went to Cuba. Fidel told him that he was going to release my daughter if her father and her grandmother also agreed. And I think that to his surprise, both agreed that she should join me. So I left on the 19th, went to Spain, came here, and the 31st December, my daughter was here.
Te puedes entrar por el... Cuando escampe, puedes caminar por el costado.
Okay. This is nice, it's very green, right?
Yeah. This is, what kind of area is this?
It took me many, many times to come here to learn the way.
It's called Miami Lakes, right?
Mm-hmm.
The house is, of course, yeah, the cat house. This group of friends, Mama, how long have you been sort of hanging out with them? Like a year? A
no,
year?
More?
Well, it happened after more I left Miami to go to Boston.
Sergio. This is Sergio's house.
I made it. I'm wearing it for the first time today.
Wow. It's really nice.
You like it?
Yeah.
I have to. It's the new hobby. The first one I gave to my mom.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the ugliest one, poor baby. This is the first one.
My mama.
Yeah. It's a nice house, right?
Hello.
Hello.
Adelante. Buena, ¿cómo andas? Vida. Happy birthday.
Ay, pero me encanta los lacitos.
Pero te la de...
Sí, va a Lara Lazos.
Oh, this is really a gallery.
Those are Mendives. This is Agustín Fernández, the same I have at home. Sí, pero mira, Mendive, las cosas que está haciendo ahora, mira.
Ah, sí.
Sí, a mí no me vuelven loco.
Bueno, pero es básicamente lo mismo.
Sí, claro.
This is 1918. Cuban painting, but the influence from European influence.
¿Y ese es el Hilda?
Ese es Castro.
Castro, ¿qué Castro? No sé qué.
No sé lo que se llama Castro.
There are truck tires.
There were people floating on
insiders. Yes. This is a means of, you know, escaping. It's what it is.
Y aquella es Marucci, la que bailaba con tu mamá, con tu papá, ¿no?
Es Marucci.
Oye, hay cubanos. No, porque a mí me sorprende esto. Hay cubanos esta noche. Y dile a Catalina que te compre un guayo, ¿qué? Ayuquita. De Catalina. De Ayuquita, papá. Ayuquita, por Dios.
You leave Cuba, you want to leave Cuba. You're not looking Cuba everywhere else. You even have some rejection for the Cuban music at the beginning. You want to listen to whatever was forbidden for you to listen there. So the first time I had the opportunity to go to a record store, I got me Edith Piaf and the Beatles. So little by little, I went back to Cuban music, which is what I know and what I enjoy.
Está buenísimo. Eso está como dirían los venezolanos. Chévere cambur. Yo traigo pa' ti.
Chupa, chupa.
Yo traigo pa' ti.
Jala, jala.
Oye, pero yo estoy preocupada. ¿Cómo es que jala, jala está más fuerte que chupa, chupa? Es que nadie chupa esta noche. A ver, ¿cómo está la chupadera esta noche? Vamos, quiero oírlo. Yo traigo pa' ti. Yo traigo pa' ti.
Chupa, chupa.
Yo traigo.
My daughter goes often to Cuba because she's allowed to, and she goes at least once a year to visit my mother. And yes, she found the place changed and much easier to live in, but of course she goes as a tourist, mostly because she's going to spend 10 days or 15. It's amazing because I've met people coming back from Cuba. Generally, Cubans that go back after a while come back very depressed. Some others come back with a feeling that they did okay. They spend some days with their families. They help out. And some other people come with the feeling that they went to the most gorgeous place in Earth. So it's kind of confusing for me because what I left was hell, at least for this woman here. I ask myself many times, if things change in Cuba, are you going to go back? I have friends that have a very firm answer for that. But not me. I don't know. You know, the sense of feeling useful somewhere is what drives you to places. And I'm sure if I find something useful to do in Cuba, I'll be back. But will that happen? Because I wouldn't have any other reason to go back. Yeah, he's doing his best.
Where are your roots? I mean, somewhere between.
Nowhere. I don't know. No, the root problem is something I stop asking to myself because I don't have an answer. I was never able to root in there. I really had always the feeling that I wanted to leave that place, and I don't think I have roots here either. So I'm a ruthless person, and I know that for many people that's a big conflict, but I haven't found that to be so dramatic. Have you ever heard of Alicia Alonso?
I think so.
Her daughter runs also a ballet school, mm-hmm. in which I work before I left. Okay. Her name is Laura Alonso. Yeah. But I don't know. I don't know the address.
Where are you going on Sunday?
To the United States.
With your orchestra, with the ballet?
No, with only me. To teach.
To teach?
Yes.
You teach often in New York?
Every year.
For how long?
For 2 months.
Amazing. So when can we talk to you?
Now.
You know the difference between a ballet teacher and a terrorist?
Unfortunately, I don't.
You can negotiate with a terrorist.
Somebody in Miami recommended you to find you when we are in Cuba, and that was Alina Fernandez. Because she told us that, look, go and find Laura, because she's an amazing woman. And she
Thank
has
you.
Stories to tell.
She's a good person. She wanted to dance very badly. But she started too late. Which is a shame.
Because she could have the potential if she
She could have, but she started too late. Which is... But that's her story.
And then how did she end her dancing career with you?
She left the country. I think every human being has the right to choose where they're going to live. It's your right for happiness. If she thinks she's going to be happy there, please. I don't know why she left. I really don't. But that's her decision, and I'm not going to mess up with that.
And you never thought of leaving because of the heavy heritage you're carrying, or the heavy burden.
I'm tough. And I do not give up. I would never write the book.
Because?
I want my parents remembered for the good they've done. Everything else is not really important. The good is more outweighs the bad.
Do you think it's the case with Alina's father?
I have no idea. It's not my decision. It's hers. I live in Cuba and I work in Cuba.
You shouldn't ask these questions.
I know what you're trying to ask, but I can't.
Qui devront se faire clasher, se font clasher. Y en a même qui vont se faire mâcher, masser, acerber, comme de la viande hachée. Mais n'oublie pas mon cachet. Si tout le monde après mon passage est fâché, fiché, touché, fauché, fâché, fiché. Je rappe comme hashtag, c'est pas de ma faute, j'ai un trop gros débit. Je cuis un flag dans mon hip hop, car M6 investi. Je reste en marche, super naturel, mon écho qui retentit. Tu passes ta bouche tous les jours depuis une décennie, y'a quoi? Les faux et tous les faux, tu vas tester au mic. Tu verras bien le juste de ta rue. Fais tester au mic. Un gros esprit reconnu. Fais tester au mic. MC magnétique, sauf celui que la génie ta cape, c'est wack. Et pour les vendus, j'ai testé au mic. Je verrai bien le juice de ta rue. J'ai testé au mic. Un gros esprit reconnu. J'ai testé au mic. Je n'ai pas le temps d'écouter du boniment, des faux divans, des sentiments, cacher du ment, espérant faire plus d'argent, mais faire du mouvement. On s'accroche, on décoche, on se dit, on se touche, décoche, la riposte qui encoche, le monopole des cloches. En chenille, y'a donc dans le monde, espérant ton souffle.
You know, in Cuba, you don't have the slightest idea of what the rest of the world knows or reads about you, but they cannot brainwash you and make you think that the rest of the world is watching Cuba with, you know, with some optical phenomenon to see what people are doing there against the big imperialist neighbor. So if you're in Cuba, you have the feeling that everybody knows what's happening to you. It's not true. It's just an idea. Like visiting a museum of archaeological politics, you know? It's what is left of the Cold War. It's what is left of what they call a communist country. So that's why people said so. I'm sorry for my Cuban fellows, because we are really not a museum. We are human beings. When you disagree with something in Cuba, you become a leper for most part of people. It used to be a very controlled environment politically. They didn't throw me to jail. They did with everybody else. But it doesn't mean that you're not scared. You're scared and you're expecting them to come any time at night, which is what they used to do. So you're most part of the time sleepless and worried. And anxious. It's not a good way of life. It's not.
No, pero no en la gaveta que tú me decías. No.
Sí, la voy a prender. Es así como trabaja. Pero hay que se caliente un poquito. Es viejita.
Ahí es muy difícil en Cuba hacer los blogs. Nosotros lo que hacemos en el caso de nosotros los periodistas independientes, que estamos bastante acosados por el gobierno, encarcelada, he sido detenida, llevada a calabozos en unidades de la policía, a riesgo. Nosotros trabajamos, pero tenemos que, si vamos, el miedo a nosotros nos acoge, pero tenemos que tratar de tranquilizar ese miedo, no que nos acoja completo en nuestro cuerpo, porque si no, no vamos a hacer nada. ¿De qué manera entonces podemos nosotros divulgar ante el mundo entero la realidad de Cuba? La alimentación en Cuba es pobre. El gobierno cree que con dar en la canasta básica este es un control de libretas que se da por un año, que es para dar la canasta básica, que ahora les voy a enseñar. Esto es por mes, yo tres personas, un niño que es mi nieto, dos personas mayores que es mi hija y yo. Arroz por un mes para tres personas. Los frijoles para tres personas. A un mes. Un mes. Tres cajas de fósforo. El café para mayores. Ya me tomé uno. Son dos paquetes por un mes. Y esto tiene que durar un mes. El cubano se puede alimentar. Usted se alimenta. Okay, say one more.
After how much time do you run out of all this?
En el caso mío, mi nieto está chiquito, me dura un poquito más, porque me dura 15 días, me puede durar una semana y pico. Una semana y media.
Ahora.
Una libra de pollo para mayores por persona una vez al mes. Un cuarto, una libra. Una libra de picadillo, llamado picadillo soya, que sabe a vómito de perro, por un mes. Muchas personas en Cuba, muchos niños en Cuba no se acuestan sin comer porque no tienen la familia un salario y trabajan y trabajan y trabajan. Si tenemos pobreza, si no hay vivienda, si el salario es poco, si no hay comida, ¿cómo vamos a eso? ¿Quiénes son los culpables? ¿El aire? ¿Jesucristo? No, por supuesto, claramente sabemos. Y eso se sabe, y lo sé yo desde niña, de que triunfó la dictadura en el año 1959, que el culpable es Fidel Castro y su seguidor de hermano, que es Raúl. No puede durar mucho más, verdaderamente que no, porque le vuelvo y le repito, esto no es una revolución. Revolución, en el diccionario, dice que es revolucionar, y Cuba no revoluciona. Cuba se ha quedado como una dictadura, y revolución es una democracia. En Cuba hay una dictadura.
¿Qué haces aquí? Tú le dices, espere, camines, da la vuelta. A knock at the door of my house. I was raiding the icebox. And I opened the door, and Fidel Castro was there. And he said, "Is your father here?" And I said, "Yes." "Well, aren't you going to let me in?" Because I just stood there. He went up to my father's room. He sat on the bed. And he said, "How much money do you need to make a ballet company?" My father had it written down, and he said, "Such and such." And he said, "I'll give you double, but it better be the best company in the world."
This is not a legend.
Oh, I was there. In pajamas, but I was there.
Was there anything particular in teaching Fidel Castro's daughter in your school?
Unless you are the son or the daughter of a famous person, you really don't know how tough it is.
So you could understand her?
Perfectly. But nobody else will, unless they have that.
Was she a good dancer?
No. No, she wasn't. But you know, she knows that.
Thank you.
Santé, santé.
Actually, it's very nice. Mm-hmm.
I've met people that spend a lot of time trying to discover the secret of his personality. I don't think it's that complicated. It's just intelligence and narcissism. He kept himself as a lonely figure, you know, this lonely man dressed in fatigues, kept his personal life totally secretive. But really, I understand that he's a fascinating character. When I was very little, he used to visit the house very frequently. Those visits were of a big guy, tender guy, playing on the ground with me. That's it. That passed very fast. I mean, I realized very soon that he was never going to be a regular father. So I knew you couldn't develop any normal relationship with him. I didn't have a phone number or any place to call him. I didn't know where he lived. So it was impossible. It was impossible. I was sitting there and I was listening to a speech, and that never changed. It never, ever became personal between us. Never. I could see that he had no patience for that. He was not made for that. It was a person that was expanding his ideology and his influence to the rest of the world. I don't think he had much time to help an infant to do her homework. So somehow I understood that. See, I wasn't expecting anything else from a person that has been 7 hours on TV. Fidel Castro in Cuba was God. Omniscient, omnipotent, and omnipresent. My problem is not with him as a father. I've met a lot of bad parents in my life. My problem is with him as the leader of a country that I found destructed, ruined, you know, so changed from what I was born in. That's my grudge. It's not against the person, it's against the leader. That system had defined who I am and where I am today and where my daughter is. And then I changed my personality and became Castro's daughter when I left the country and I was almost 40 years old, which is, for me, it was a passion to speak about Cuba and what was going on in there. You know, I was a very passionate dissident at the beginning. If you forget something and time enough passes by, you know, you lose a lot of emotions. Emotions are nothing you can keep for too long. That's why they are called emotions. You can keep all your life your convictions, your principles, but not your emotion. Emotion exhausts themselves.
When your father was dying, what will you do?
You don't know how you're going to react to anything, but basically I don't think that I'm going to be lighting any fires, you know. I do know that a lot of people are going to feel overjoyed. They're going to party, as they did when Chavez died. But I'm not going to be part of them. Because, again, I don't think it's going to solve anything. I don't know if they had plans to open up a stadium. I don't know. I've heard so many versions about it.
Would it be Fidel Castro dying or your father dying?
It's going to be Fidel Castro dying.
Just like that?
Just like that.
Ah, es Alina. ¿Quién me habla? Carmen. Ibel, ¿cómo estás? Soy Alina, la mamá de Mumin. ¿Cómo andas? Qué gusto saludarte.
Any person that leaves Cuba is a traitor. When it's being considered a traitor, it's being called a traitor, or another word they use or always had used for that is gusano, which means worm. It's more original than rats. But that's the way we were called. And everything had changed maybe a year, 2 years ago, because they definitely want the worms to be reconsidered as Cuban. That way we're going to go back, visit with money and this and that. I'm not the first person that had a split with its family because of ideological issues. some parents have betrayed their children, some children have betrayed their parents or their uncles or any relative because of ideological reasons. And I'm sure in Eastern Europe they're going to understand what I'm saying better than in here.
Sure.
I mean, for example, in this country, families won't fight to death and break relationship because one is from Bush and the other one is from Obama. You know, you can have a bitter discussion and the dinner table is going to end that night a little bit exalted, but you don't become the enemy.
Could you ever forgive your father?
If you're asking me if I'm going to forgive that I had to escape my country with a daughter, that I've been harassed for so many years here in America, if I'm going to forgive having a very uncertain future, no, I won't. No? Why? But it doesn't make me a bitter person. It doesn't make me to think about it every night when I go to bed. You see? I'm not obsessed with that. Of course, it's unforgivable.
On the Spot online média partnere a vs.hu. Népszabadság. Mérlegeljen.